Good evening. Now I'm going to see if you can wear glasses on this microphone. So, turn to Proverbs 23, please. I'm only going to read the first five verses. Then we'll be all over the place. Proverbs chapter 23. When you sit to dine with the ruler, note well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Let's pray together. Father, you're the God of all eternity. You hold our very breath in your hand. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So fix our eyes on you tonight and turn us towards you, the one who holds our breath in his hand. So speak through your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if Johnny was being naughty, but he told me he was going to give me a proverb to preach on, and he said I'll have a subject. And then I found the wee bit of card later on. I found the date that I was on, and it just said money, Proverbs 23. And I looked at Proverbs 23, and it didn't find a lot about money in there, but I know what Johnny was doing. It's a springboard, okay? It's a springboard. Then I looked at my only commentary. Well, I have two commentaries, I believe, on Proverbs. One of them's gone missing, so I was down to one. And when I looked at these verses in the Bible Speaks Today commentary on Proverbs, he said this. Now the writer gives us some financial advice, and that's all he said. Now, not only Johnny has left me nothing to say, but now the only book that I have has left me nothing to say, so what do you say? And you say, no doubt you'll find plenty to say, so let's get on with it. I noticed you had a countdown for starting the service. You maybe need one to stop the service, or we do have a clock there, that's good. Someone has quipped, the person who said money can't buy you love has never bought a puppy. Okay. Someone also has said, the person who said money can't buy you happiness is obviously shopping in the wrong shops. Okay. And I have no personal qualifications on the subject of money, really, only that before you ever knew me, I once owned two hotels, five houses, and a sports car. And just like that, and as Solomon says, it is gone. My mum said, right, pack the Monopoly up, it's time to go to bed. And it was all gone. But I think for a lot of us, wealthy people in this part of the world, and certainly up to 7 or 8 years ago, property became, or life became, a bit of a property game. And then there was a financial downturn, and a lot of people who had bought a lot of property saw their wealth go like that. And the wisest man who ever lived, and thank God that when God said to Solomon, asked for anything you want. Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom. And there's so much wisdom in here. And I want to say to us tonight in the church, or more generally the world, has got the whole thing about money wrong. Money makes the world go round. No, there's a creator who made the world and it spins round, and he is awesome, but money doesn't make it go round. The reason I read the first two verses, or first three verses, is about sitting with the ruler and watching that you don't eat too much. And then he says, for that food is deceptive. I think that's the one, the link there is with the next two verses. Because riches are deceptive. And we've all been sucked into this idea that it's all about money. And believe you me, we all do think it's all about money at some stage or at some point in our life. Money, or on everyday basis, it's the thought about money. Someone did say that money is a big thing in our lives because we spend most of our lives earning our money. So most of the time you have in your life is spent earning the money, so it is a big thing in your life. And money is necessary. I had to go and buy some groceries today. Sorry, I confess that to you. And Tesco wouldn't let me leave without giving them some money. It was Jane's birthday yesterday. Now that was more money. And we need money. But the writer to the Proverbs, I believe Solomon says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. The deceptiveness and transient nature of money. Bethany, when she first became a student, well, looking at Jeff here, got her loan, and she said to me after a wee while, Dad, all my money's gone. Where's it gone? And I said to her, love, let's sit down and look at what you've done. And as it turned out, she spent it. It was gone. All of a sudden, all this money went into her new bank account, and then she just went, oh, it's £10 there, and we know how easy it is, £10 here, and it's, you mean you just go up to that machine now, and it just gives you the money, and was gone. And do you know what really gets me about this? It was an ancient problem. It's not new. It's always been a problem, according to Solomon. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Certainly it happens when you've got four children. The money seems to sprout wings and fly off to the sky. Oh, by the way, the one other thing, in case the writer of the book of the Bible Speaks Today series is listening, he did say it might mean that they could fly off to the sky like vultures. Like a vulture is just taking your money. The problem is, I think, that all of us in the world, and Christians alike, have now put far too much of a value on money. My mum used to say, or my dad used to say, oh, that fella knows the value of a pound. And I think we've overrated the pound, and we've pushed God out of the equation. Here's what you need. All of this makes no sense unless you cast your eye across the page to Proverbs 22 and verse 2 and listen to this. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. You're here tonight. You're Christian. come to Hamilton Road Baptist Church. You believe in an awesome God, a creator God, the God who made you. He's your maker. Take that out, and the people out there don't need to worry about this, because money, money, money is what it's all about. But when you've got a maker, he has to be what it's all about. And I think this wise man Solomon is saying, refocus, get your eyes back on the maker. It's an awesome thing we get involved with every Sunday. You come to this building and you commune and you sing to and you open this Bible, which is God's word, and we do God stuff. I was just driving along yesterday and it hit me again. Thankfully, it was the only thing that hit me when I was driving, but it hit me again. We do God stuff here. We have, David was talking this morning about a message. We have a message because this is where we meet with God and go out there, and God lives in us and we take him out there and we do God stuff. And so the writer is saying, check your interest in money. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. How much energy are you spending on the maker? Or is it just making money that you're interested in? Let's look at a little bit more wisdom from Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Whoever loves money never has enough money. Or never has money enough, it says. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. It must be 10 years ago that I sat and watched a program on TV, and a snooker star, Stephen Hendry, was on, and it was at the height of his era where he reigned the table. And he said, I think about retiring when I'm financially secure. And he had already won over £5 million in prize money alone. Whoever loves money never has money enough. When are you ever financially secure? When is enough enough? It's when you get your eyes off the money and get your eyes on the God and crave after him, then you sort of start to get content about the money. Godliness with contentment is of great gain, says Paul. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Wandered from the faith, so interested, got caught up in money and wandered from God. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 15. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain since he toils for the wind? And Solomon is saying to us tonight, look, if money is all it's about for you, you need to grow up, Christian. cast a glimpse at it, and it's gone. But there is a God you will meet in all eternity, and he lived forever, and you will live with him, and you will be rich beyond compare forever if you make that your goal in life. We have a dog, as you know, you've heard me speak about him too many times. His name is Buddy. We bought him as a Labrador pup, black Labrador. He's now 5 years old. And just recently, I think it was Timothy, said to me, "Why does Buddy not chase his tail anymore?" And I said, "It's because he's five. He's grown up. He lies there on the floor and goes, 'Huh, so that's attached to me.' How's it taken me 5 years to catch on? I've been chasing and chasing and chasing my tail. And Timothy wants me to do it, but I'm not playing because I know it's attached to me." Solomon says, "Naked we came from our mother's womb, and as we come, so he departs. As a man comes, so he departs, and what does he gain since he toils for the wind?" He talks in other places of chasing after the wind. And everything this world has to offer is a chasing after the wind. Listen to the most important man at the end of the first century AD, the Apostle John, says this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Solomon doesn't say it's wrong to get rich, by the way. He just says, don't base your life on getting rich. I had the privilege of working for a very rich man, TBF Thompson. And I loved this story, and I heard it as I went out visiting, and I went and spoke to him personally, and he told me it was true. During his lifetime as a businessman, he took order of several new Rolls-Royce cars. Incredible that you hardly see a Rolls-Royce, really, but in his day, he bought a number of Rolls-Royce cars. And one night, he went to visit one of his parishioners. He was an elder in the local church, and he spent a couple of hours in the house, and he had had such a good time visiting that he walked home. And it was only when he got home that he realized that he had gone in the Rolls-Royce, and it was parked down the street in Garva. Michael Card wrote a song, and we can't imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. What's your life based on? Is it getting rich? In 2009, I think it was, and I can stand to be corrected, or around that time, TBF Thompson took his final breath and died. He didn't have a Rolls Royce at that time. He had what is called a 6 Daimler. It's a V12. He told me one day, "Take the keys and have a run." I said, "Are you joking?" He said, "Sure, it's only a car." And I went, "Only a car?" He says, "Only a car." And he let me drive it on my own. And it's amazing. See, when you put the throttle down, the front goes up and the fuel gauge goes down along with the throttle. Someone said, "How many miles a gallon does it do?" And the man from Garva said, "I don't know, but when you put your foot down, it's like flushing the toilet." And you know what? The Daimler's still sitting in Garva, but TBF's gone to glory. And he was a rich man. 30 years before that, my dad went to work on a Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock. At 1:15, a branch that they were limbing off a tree hit him at the bottom of his back. It was a ton weight, and he was gone in a second. 6 days after my 15th birthday. When we got his belongings back from the undertaker, we got a pair of jeans with blood on them. And the contents of those jeans, and in the bag of contents was his wages packet that he had received that morning for £42 in 1979 with a wife and 6 children. But at that moment on Friday afternoon, he died and went to be with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven. And he's up there with TBF because rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Money? You got it all wrong. All we think, honestly, you can, and believe you me, I've done it, and I do it. People say, have you any money worries? Give me a sheet of paper and a pen, and anybody could say that. But listen, that's Solomon. Turn over to, we have a few minutes here. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42 says this. We'll quickly bounce about a bit here. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42 says this. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. Jesus said that, and he meant himself. And so there wasn't much to say in Proverbs 23 about money, but when you turn to the Gospels, Jesus, and I've heard Johnny say it so many times, Jesus said more about money than any other subject, and boy, did then he leave me in a hole when I tried to sort of cover it. But listen to the one who's wiser than Solomon. Listen to what he says that you should do about money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? Oh, you designer people in Hamilton Road. It doesn't say that, but. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire and will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, yet your Father knows, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I love that. I think over the last wee while I've learned a bit of that. Your heavenly Father incredible. We do God stuff here on Sunday. It's not a remote God we worship. It's a God who's our heavenly Father. Our Father in heaven, our heavenly Father. Now, I love my kids immensely. They know that when I'm shouting at them. I remember my dad putting me over his knee and smacking me for sticking a 6-inch nail into the plug. He said, "You could have killed yourself. I thought you were going to finish the job." But he was doing it because he loves me. I didn't stick a nail into the plug again, not just because of the electric shock, but because of the shock of his hand pounding off my rear end. But you love your kids, don't you? And yet we know nothing about love, but if we are fathers and love pounds out of our hearts for our children, how much more does a heavenly Father love you and know what you need? So that's what I want to say to you tonight. Don't worry about money. But there's something you should worry about. Matthew chapter 10. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus told the story, you'll find it in Luke chapter 16. There was a rich man and a poor man called Lazarus. Get that? He was a rich man. And a poor man called Lazarus, and he tells the story of how the rich man ate sumptuously every day, and then death came to both the rich man and Lazarus, the poor man. And Lazarus went up to heaven, and the rich man went down to hell, and he was rich, but he couldn't stay out of hell. And when he went there, he begged that Abraham would come and dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue. I was in Belfast the other day, had to go to training. And just before I went in, I went into a wee shop next door to where I was going, and I bought the cheapest bottle of water I could find. It was 80p. And I took it into the place, and boy, as they would say down the country, was I scunnered, because there was free water in the place. But my bottle cost me 80p. But listen to this. And if you're not saved tonight, listen to this. Please listen to this. God wants you to listen to this. This rich man went to hell, and £80 million would not buy him a drop of water. And that's Jesus teaching, by the way. So make sure you're right with your maker and put the money to the side and don't worry about it, says Jesus. Let me finish with this. It's hard to see that clock. It's really hard to see that clock. I can't see that clock. Anyway, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus then says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And by the way, if you go to Luke chapter 12, you'll find that five sparrows are sold for 2 pennies. If you've 2 pennies, if you've got Balamina blood in you, you'll realize that Jesus was on to the shopping trends of the day. Buy four, get one free, okay? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And Ewell made a comment earlier when we were speaking after the morning service, when David, Ewell, and I got together to talk about tonight. He said, 3 baldies looking after the service tonight. Well, are not the hairs of your head even numbered? I'm sure there was a laugh in the crowd when Jesus said that. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The term Jesus uses, "not one of them falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father," is much more than a sparrow taking a mid-air cardiac arrest and diving into the ground, or hitting a windscreen of a car and splatting on the ground. The Hebrew, I was told way back, is deeper than that. It's every time a sparrow lands on the ground and takes off, every time a sparrow lands on the ground and takes off, every time a sparrow dips into a wee pool and takes a wee drink of water, God writes it in a book somewhere. He takes note of every single time a sparrow does everything. You're worth more than many sparrows. Let me finish with this. I did say that about the last thing, didn't I? Sorry, I will finish with this. Since you call on a father, by the way, just read all the apostles. Not one of them has a lot of financial advice, by the way. They're too taken up by Jesus. This is Peter's advice to you. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. We're meant to be different, strange. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That should put money in its perspective. Just as I speak, there are many millionaires walking across a bridge on Augusta, the Masters golf course in Augusta. Most of those guys that play there are millionaires. Lee Westwood, who has never won a major, is a top money earner for non-major winners. He has won £33 million worth of prize money. And he's never won a major, and that's only his prize money. And they're walking over a lovely three-tiered bridge. I love watching the Masters, not just for the golf, but just for the scenery. But Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our great bridge builder, the Pontifex. And Peter's saying that Jesus built the bridge for us. It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that we redeemed from this empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you don't need to know a lot about money, but we do need to know you. Help us to be wise with our money. Help us to use it properly. Help us not to wear ourselves out just to get rich, but to really live in the realization that there is a maker that we will one day meet face to face, and Jesus has done everything for us to do this. So thank you for his precious blood, and we thank you in his lovely name. Amen.